Okay, so did you see it?
I saw it, yes. I saw it.
So what was it?
It was a blanket with a message on it.
A blanket with a message. And the blanket was hanging from a bridge in the state of Guanajuato in Mexico.
They usually send messages like this.
They write messages on blankets?
Yes, and they hang them in cities with very foul language and terrible spelling.
This is Manuel Molano. He's an economist in Mexico with the Mexican Institute for Competitiveness.
This is what we usually call a narcomanta, which is a blanket that has some sort of warning.
A narcomanta, a drug trafficker's blanket, basically a billboard from a drug cartel. Journalists in Mexico have stopped reporting on these blankets because they don't want to spread messages for the cartels. They are legitimately frightening.
But this time, the threat is directly against the president of the republic, Andrés Manuel López Obrador.
Andrés Manuel López Obrador. This was addressed to the president of Mexico.
And it was signed by a criminal called El Marro, the hammer.
Technically, it said El Señor Marro, which would mean Mr. Hammer. The blanket said, President of Mexico, I demand you get your Navy, Army, Air Force, and Federal Police out of this state. If not, I'm going to start killing innocent people.
And then, kind of like a PS, it said, I've left you a little gift at my refinery.
That little gift was an orange pickup truck with what looked like a bomb inside.
And the part of the message that says my refinery, he means an oil refinery, like where gasoline is made. And the refinery is owned by the Mexican government. But the hammer is saying here, no, 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 that refinery is mine now.
Hello and welcome to Planet Money. I'm Sarah Gonzalez.
And I'm Jacob Goldstein.
Today on the show, the hammer and a lot of drug traffickers and cartels are diversifying. They're getting into the oil business, stealing billions of dollars of gasoline every year.
And the president of Mexico is taking radical, even dangerous steps to cut them off.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Amazon Web Services. Do you ever wonder how we're streaming millions of movies on demand or doing our banking from the beach? And how are we watching a live mission from Mars? Smart business minds dreamed these ideas, and Amazon Web Services is how they built them. With the broadest functionality and the most experience, the leading enterprises trust the AWS cloud to build the next big idea. Are you ready to build it? Learn more at awsishow.com/podcast.
It came out of the blue one night when she was sleeping, a searing pain that jumped from one part of Devin's body to another.
Why is this happening? Why is this happening to me?
This week on Invisibilia, the surprising story of how pain spread through a culture, our culture.
Just a quick warning, this show includes audio from a deadly accident. It is disturbing.
Okay, the first thing you should know about gasoline in Mexico is that it's state-owned. The national oil company, Petróleos Mexicanos, is one of the largest oil companies in the world. Everyone calls it Pemex. And Pemex gasoline is really expensive for people in Mexico. Like, you have to work almost a full day at minimum wage in order to afford 1 gallon of gasoline.
And as a result, people have always stolen some gas in Mexico. There's even a special name for stolen gas. Everybody calls it huachicol. But for a long time, it was kind of a manageable problem.
Until a few years ago, when drug cartels wanted to diversify beyond the drug business. Some turned to prostitution, some started kidnapping people for ransom, and some looked at this little huachicol thing and were like, we can make this a much bigger business. Billions of dollars of gasoline is flowing right at our feet. So they started tapping the gasoline pipelines, and they are selling stolen gas into this giant global market.
And Sarah, you talked about this global market with Ian Ralby. He works for the United Nations. His job is fighting maritime fuel smuggling, which I think basically means that he fights pirates.
He's a pirate fighter.
I would say yes. I fight pirates, smugglers, traffickers, and thieves.
Are you ever scared?
Yeah, I'm actually terrified about this interview.
Really?
Yeah. When you're talking about billions of dollars of criminal profit, people will go to lengths to keep that.
Ian fights crime that happens in the ocean. And he says that one of Mexico's most notorious cartels is now a full-on fuel exporter. They have fake export certificates and an entire fleet of ships in the sea.
They have tankers, they have supply vessels, they have support vessels, and they can take fuel right from the refinery, put it into a tanker with falsified documents, and then sail it right into somebody's port and distribute it as if it was a legitimate shipment.
Shipping vessels filled with fuel that is being sold all over the world. Stolen Mexican fuel is sold all over the world.
Correct.
How can you sell stolen fuel smuggled out of Mexico to, like, Thailand?
Well, if you probably wouldn't sell it to Thailand, because they're smuggling it in via fishing boats from Malaysia and then selling it in Coke bottles on the street.
Oh.
So Thailand's got itself its own dynamic. But you could even sell it into Caribbean countries, into other South American countries, into parts of Europe and North America.
Selling stolen gas is this massive global industry with all of these supply chains going from country to country. And the different ways people come up with to steal gasoline is just incredible.
Take Morocco and Algeria. They have a closed border. People are not allowed to walk across, drive across. People cannot cross the border. But donkeys can, like trained, unmanned donkeys.
And as a result, donkeys have been taking overnight jerry cans with Algerian fuel across the border into Morocco for years. And if you think that's just a small-scale thing, the total adds up to about $2 billion a year.
By donkey
in jerry cans.
So there is this extraordinary global market in stolen gasoline. And once the cartels in Mexico discovered this, they just started stealing more and more gas.
In 2016, Pemex, Mexico's oil company, lost $1.5 billion to stolen gas, then $2.5 billion the next year, and $3.5 billion last year. That's $9 million a day. And they're not stealing from a private company. They're stealing from the Mexican government, from the people of Mexico.
So this problem's getting worse and worse. And then on December 1st of last year, just a few months ago, a new president was sworn in. Andrés Manuel López Obrador, his name is a handful, so everybody calls him AMLO. And Manuel, the economist, says he's just a different kind of president.
AMLO travels around Mexico without Secret Service. And to save the people money, he flies commercial, like on regular airplanes.
He's a fearless man. I have to give him that. He is really fearless.
On his first day as president, he said he was going to sell all the planes and all the helicopters that the, quote, corrupt politicians used. He came in to change things up in Mexico.
He has an idea of power closer to that of Aztec emperors. And I really think he projects that image, that he's in control and that he can achieve absolutely anything with just enough willpower.
And so on December 27th, just a few weeks after he became president, AMLO holds this press conference about stolen gas. He says, come on, this is a multi-billion dollar business. Of course people at Pemex know this is going on.
They know when someone has punched a hole in a pipeline and is siphoning gasoline. The people in the government know this is happening too, obviously. They are letting it happen. The authorities are complicit.
Con la complicidad.
He says this stolen gas, this huachicol, is from the top.
Huachicol, pero desde arriba.
And then he says, right now, we have to end this corruption.
Con esta corrupción.
And then he does something that nobody has ever tried before, something radical. AMLO shut down the gasoline pipelines in Mexico, turned off the valves, dried out the pipes, no more gasoline flowing. So even if the cartels tapped them, there'd be nothing in there. He was taking on the cartels. The only problem is he shut off the valves to the pipelines, like the thing that brings gasoline to millions of people in Mexico.
I mean, just imagine you're living your life, and then one day, out of nowhere, the president is like, sorry, I'm turning off the supply of gasoline to your state, fighting crime.
There is technically still gasoline in Mexico, but now, instead of flowing through pipes, gasoline was moving in trucks and rail cars, traveling by police escort.
Well, of course, I'm an economist, and I'm worried. The best way to move liquids is through a pipe. It's the cheapest way.
It costs 14 times more to move gas by truck than by pipeline, according to the Mexican government.
And also, and more importantly, in the short term in Mexico, it is a much, much slower way of getting gas around the country. So after AMLO shut off the pipes, gas just couldn't get to gas stations fast enough. Millions of people who just wanted to, you know, drive to work or pick up their kid at school had to wait 5 hours, 8 hours just to put gas in their car.
Taxi drivers, truck drivers, farmers, they couldn't move their products. The price of fruit and meat and vegetables went up. And people stayed home. It was like a natural disaster had hit Mexico.
Eventually, gas stations ran out entirely. Even in Mexico City, in the capital. For more than a month, there were shortages. People started fighting over gasoline. So the president had cut his own people off from this essential resource. And yet, he was still really popular. 90% of the country supported him turning off the pipes. They wanted him to fight gas theft.
And people started getting used to waiting in long lines for gasoline. And, you know, when there are a lot of Mexicans just waiting hours and hours for one thing, we're gonna turn it into a party. A few pipelines were still running. One ran through an alfalfa field in a farm town called Tlahuelilpan. And of course, when so many pipes are dry, gas thieves are gonna find the one that's running. And on January 18th, some gas thief tapped this one.
And the gasoline started leaking, forming some sort of pond of gasoline. And this is a very small, poor, rural town in central Mexico. So people started flowing to this place in order to get 5 liters, 10 liters.
Hundreds of people, like 700 people, women, children, grandparents, showed up with buckets and gas canisters. They are scooping up spilled gasoline.
And then some soldiers came, and they tried to get everybody to leave, tried to get everybody to stop doing this, but they were outnumbered. People just kept coming. At some point that day, the leak turned into a gusher. Gas started shooting up into the air, like 50 feet high.
There are videos of this online. People are getting covered in gasoline, soaked in it.
I mean, this is the kind of happiness you would find in American scenes of kids in a very hot summer gathering around a broken fireman connection.
Right, like kids around a fire hydrant.
Yes.
Does that not happen in Mexico?
Oh, no, I don't think so. It's a scene from Americana, I guess. Yes. I mean, that's how it looked at first. Then it just became a nightmare.
Something caused a spark, and everything burst into flames.
It's a scene from hell. It's just something that you cannot fathom, you cannot imagine. What you hear is terrible shouting and people running from one side to the other in flames.
People are in flames, rolling around in the alfalfa field trying to put out the fire. They're taking off all their clothes, their shoes, begging for help. Dozens of people were really badly burned. Kids lost their limbs, people's faces completely changed from the burns, and more than 130 people were killed.
That night, the president went to the scene of the explosion. He offered his condolences to the victims and their families. And then a reporter asked him, does this mean you're going to change the way you're fighting gas theft?
No, no cambia.
He said, no, no change.
But to help with the shortages, AMLO spent almost $100 million on 571 new trucks that he bought from the United States.
He has also turned most of the gas pipelines back on, but there are thousands of soldiers guarding the pipes out there right now in the middle of nowhere.
So gasoline is getting to people again, but at a really high cost. And gas theft is down, But Ian, the pirate fighter and fuel theft expert, says it probably won't last. Criminals are incredibly creative. Remember, Coke bottles and donkeys.
If you just change the modality of how you move oil or fuel, you're just going to see a change in the modalities of how it's stolen. Shifting from pipelines to trucks just means that you're shifting from tapping pipelines to hijacking tanker trucks.
Ultimately, Ian says you don't solve the problem by turning off the pipes or by moving oil out of pipes and into trucks. You solve it by arresting people who steal gasoline and arresting corrupt officials who let them get away with it. Until you do that, people will keep stealing. Why wouldn't they?
Those arrests do seem to be starting. Four Pemex officials have been arrested, including the man who was in charge of one of the most important gas pipelines in Mexico. He's accused of looking the other way when he knew criminals were stealing gas.
This message comes from NPR sponsor AT&T Prepaid. AT&T Prepaid has pay-as-you-go plans on the same AT&T network without credit checks or annual contracts. To find out more, visit att.com/prepaid.
What does it take to start something from nothing? And what does it take to actually build it? I'm Guy Raz. Every week on How I Built This, I speak with founders behind some of the most inspiring companies in the world. Find it on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts.
Special thanks to Maria Jose Sanchez Oviedo, who wrote us about the gas crisis in Mexico. We read your emails. We love getting them. You can send them to planetmoney@npr.org. Thanks also to Duncan Woods, Felipe Mesa, Naji Mohan, and Luz Elena Martinez. And an extra special thanks to our producer at The Indicator, Constanza Gallardo, and NPR's Mexico correspondent, Carrie Kahn.
Today's show was produced by Darian Woods and Megan Tan. Ryan Erstedt edits our show. Alex Goldmark is our supervising producer. I'm Jacob Goldstein.
And I'm Sarah Gonzalez. Thanks for listening.
We had somebody who actually came forward and said that they had the ultimate solution to all of this in very, very serious terms.
The ultimate solution?
Yes.
In very serious terms.
Stop using fossil fuels altogether.
Yes, that solution.
Whatever energy supply comes next, somebody will look to steal that as well.
People are going to want to bottle up the sun and wind.
Precisely. They'll steal off of solar fields. They'll steal off of wind farms. They'll steal off of wave farms. You know, we already see people stealing off of the grid in the U.S. When you have something that you need to pay for every day, you want to find out how to get it as cheaply as possible.